The Teacher. Snow lay deep in the streets of Winesburg. It had begun to snow about 10 o'clock in the morning, and a wind sprang up and blew the snow in clouds along Main Street. The frozen mud roads that led into town were fairly smooth, and in places ice covered the mud. "There will be good sleighing," said Will Henderson, standing by the bar in Ed Griffith's saloon. Out of the saloon he went and met Sylvester West, the druggist, stumbling along in the kind of heavy overshoes called Arctics. "Snow will bring the people into town on Saturday," said the druggist. The two men stopped and discussed their affairs. Will Henderson, who had on a light overcoat and no overshoes, kicked the heel of his left foot with the toe of the right. "Snow will be good for the wheat," observed the druggist sagely. Young George Willard, who had nothing to do, was glad because he did not feel like working that day. The weekly paper had been printed and taken to the post office Wednesday evening, and the snow began to fall on Thursday. At 8 o'clock, after the morning train had passed, he put a pair of skates in his pocket and went up to Waterworks Pond, but did not go skating. Past the pond and along a path that followed Wine Creek, he went until he came to a grove of beech trees. There he built a fire against the side of a log and sat down at the end of the log to think. When the snow began to fall and the wind to blow, he hurried about getting fuel for the fire. The young reporter was thinking of Kate Swift, who had once been his schoolteacher. On the evening before, he had gone to her house to get a book she wanted him to read and had been alone with her for an hour. For the fourth or fifth time, the woman had talked to him with great earnestness, and he could not make out what she meant by her talk. He began to believe she must be in love with him, and the thought was both pleasing and annoying. Up from the log he sprang and began to pile sticks on the fire. Looking about to be sure he was alone, he talked aloud, pretending he was in the presence of the woman. "Oh, you're just letting on. You know you are," he declared. "I'm going to find out about you. You wait and see." The young man got up and went back along the path toward town, leaving the fire blazing in the wood. As he went through the streets, the skates clanked in his pocket. In his own room in the new Willard house, he built a fire in the stove and lay down on top of the bed. He began to have lustful thoughts, and pulling down the shade of the window, closed his eyes and turned his face to the wall. He took a pillow into his arms and embraced it, thinking first of the schoolteacher, who by her words had stirred something within him, and later of Helen White, the slim daughter of the town banker, with whom he had been for a long time half in love. By 9 o'clock of that evening, snow lay deep in the streets, and the weather had become bitter cold. It was difficult to walk about. The stores were dark, and the people had crawled away to their houses. The evening train from Cleveland was very late, but nobody was interested in its arrival. By 10 o'clock, all but 4 of the 1,800 citizens of the town were in bed. Hop Higgins, the night watchman, was partially awake. He was lame and carried a heavy stick. On dark nights he carried a lantern. Between 9 and 10 o'clock he went his rounds. Up and down Main Street he stumbled through the drifts, trying the doors of the stores. Then he went into alleyways and tried the back doors. Finding all tight, he hurried around the corner to the new Willard house and beat on the door. Through the rest of the night he intended to stay by the stove. "You go to bed. I'll keep the stove going," he said to the boy who slept on a cot in the hotel office. Hop Higgins sat down by the stove and took off his shoes. When the boy had gone to sleep, he began to think of his own affairs. He intended to paint his house in the spring, and sat by the stove calculating the cost of paint and labor. That led him into other calculations. The night watchman was 60 years old and wanted to retire. He had been a soldier in the Civil War and drew a small pension. He hoped to find some new method of making a living and aspired to become a professional breeder of ferrets. Already he had 4 of the strangely shaped savage little creatures that are used by sportsmen in the pursuit of rabbits, in the cellar of his house. "Now I have 1 male and 3 females," he mused. "If I am lucky, by spring I shall have 12 or 15. In another year I shall be able to begin advertising ferrets for sale in the sporting papers." The night watchman settled into his chair, and his mind became a blank. He did not sleep. By years of practice he had trained himself to sit for hours through the long nights, neither asleep nor awake. In the morning he was almost as refreshed as though he had slept. With Hop Higgins safely stowed away in the chair behind the stove, only 3 people were awake in Winesburg. George Willard was in the office of the Eagle, pretending to be at work on the writing of a story, but in reality continuing the mood of the morning by the fire in the wood. In the bell tower of the Presbyterian Church, the Reverend Curtis Hartman was sitting in the darkness, preparing himself for a revelation from God, and Kate Swift, the schoolteacher, was leaving her house for a walk in the storm. It was past 10 o'clock when Kate Swift set out, and the walk was unpremeditated. It was as though the man and the boy, by thinking of her, had driven her forth into the wintry streets. Aunt Elizabeth Swift had gone to the county seat concerning some business in connection with mortgages in which she had money invested, and would not be back until the next day. By a huge stove, called a base burner, in the living room of the house, sat the daughter, reading a book. Suddenly she sprang to her feet, and snatching a cloak from a rack by the front door, ran out of the house. At the age of 30, Kate Swift was not known in Winesburg as a pretty woman. Her complexion was not good, and her face was covered with blotches that indicated ill health. Alone in the night in the winter streets she was lovely. Her back was straight, her shoulders square, and her features were as the features of a tiny goddess on a pedestal in a garden in the dim light of a summer evening. During the afternoon the schoolteacher had been to see Dr. Welling concerning her health. The doctor had scolded her and had declared she was in danger of losing her hearing. It was foolish for Kate Swift to be abroad in the storm, foolish and perhaps dangerous. The woman in the streets did not remember the words of the doctor, and would not have turned back had she remembered. She was very cold, but after walking for 5 minutes, no longer minded the cold. First she went to the end of her own street, and then across a pair of hayscales set in the ground, before a feed barn and into Trunion Pike. Along Trunion Pike she went to Ned Winter's barn, and turning east followed a street of low frame houses that led over Gospel Hill, and into Sucker Road that ran down a shallow valley past Ike Smead's chicken farm to Waterworks Pond. As she went along, the bold, excited mood that had driven her out of doors passed, and then returned again.